This lecture is brought to you by Buford Road Baptist Church. The speaker today is Pastor David Kogel.
Now, I want to ask you this question. Have you ever got to places where you just don't feel like praying? You know, it could be a number of things. It could be something like it's just an inconvenient time. It could be something that you're going through so drastic that you really don't know how to pray at that particular time. It could be something in your life, some sin, some things that are going on that you feel like, hey, until I get these under the blood and confess these things to the Lord, I really can't ask Him for anything else. And that's true too. All of those things are true. So there are times. I was reminded, I heard the song on the radio the other day, and it's an older song. Gold City put it out long ago. I know Pastor and Brother Danny and certain ones here probably remember this, but the title of the song was When You Don't Feel Like Praying, Pray. And the words of that rang true to me as I went back and remembered that song. It says, weary bodies, troubled minds, they will defeat you every time. Circumstances all around you may look dim, but even if you have to crawl, Jesus wants to hear it all. You will be all right if you can get to Him. And the next verse says, there's an altar just for you, and it only takes the two, just one humble heart and one holy lamb. Satan says you cannot pray, then God removes him from your way. Weak and broken, you can cry, Lord, here I am. The course says, when you don't feel like praying, just pray. When you think you just can't go through, pray. Precious to the Father's ear are three words, Lord, I'm here. And when you don't feel like praying, just pray. The bridge of the song says, when it's hardest to pray, sweet victory awaits. When you don't feel like praying, just pray. And I thought about that. That's so true. I think some of the sweetest times of prayer is actually when you don't feel like praying and you say, you know what? I don't have no one else to turn to. I don't have any other answer. So I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to talk to the Lord about it. And by breaking through that and going straight to the throne of grace to God, I believe you will see some great answers to your prayer. You know, Satan doesn't want us to pray. He certainly does not want us to talk to God because he knows God is powerful and able to answer prayer. So keep that in mind when there are times when you don't feel like praying. I thought about this. Not only does God wait for us to talk to him, but you know, other people are depending on our prayers as well. Have you ever felt bad when you told somebody, hey, I'm praying for you, and then you didn't pray? You forgot about it. You got busy. Some other things came up. But you told that person, hey, I'll be praying for you. That's why many times I pray right then when I tell them that. I'll be talking to somebody on the phone, they're telling me about certain things, and I said, you know, instead of saying, I'll be praying for you, I say, hey, do you mind if we just pray right now? No, please go ahead. And we pray. So it is very important that we take this thing of prayer very seriously. I won't take time to elaborate on these other points that we've already covered, but I do want to just mention them again as we get a little refresher in our mind. Because these are techniques that go along with the Word of God. These are things that get our heart ready when we need to go to the Lord in prayer and stay ready talking to Him. So the first one was, we talked about, is to apply an honest heart before God. John 15:7 was the verse that we used for that. If you abide in me, and look at that, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Like I said before, we like the latter part of that verse. But we got to remember, the Lord saying, hey, is the Word abiding in you? Is it on the inside? Because what happens is the more we study God's Word, the more we read it, the more we comprehend it, then those things will come back to us. We go to the Lord in prayer and we say, Lord, I know that you hear me and I know that you can answer this prayer because your word says, and we begin to tell him some, repeat some of the promises we read in his word. Your word said this, and I know that you're not going against your word. So if we don't have that word inside, how can we go to that? How can we go back to that? A lot of people just want to just jump into prayer and ask the Lord for something, never thinking about what his word says. So it is very important that we have that honest heart before God. And that means just being honest with the Lord. I think we ought to realize, hey, he knows our heart anyway. So let's just be honest before him. Let's just let him know that we know that. And being that, having that honest heart before him means if I've got sin in my life, he already knows it. So let's ask the Lord to get rid of that sin. Let's confess that sin. Let's not cover it up. Let's let that be gone in our life. And then we begin more of that abiding that we should as a Christian with him. Secondly, we talked about the next thing we could do to have a great prayer life is listening to God's teaching, listening to him. 1 John 3, 21-22. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. You see, if I know that I'm trying to do what the Lord wants me to do on a daily basis, and I'm reading his word and I'm trying to live by his word, then I'll have no problem having confidence when I go to him in prayer that he's ready to hear me and answer those prayers. But if I put his word on the side and I've just been living this week like I want to live and do things like I want to do and not even thinking about the Lord, and then here I am on Sunday and I'm going to ask him to do something for me, how can I do that? I won't have the confidence in my heart that I should have. But it comes from the obedient heart to God. And we talked about how being an employee and that if we're working for someone, if we're really trying on that job and we're doing all we can do to be on time and do what we're supposed to do, then we'll have no problem with asking the Lord to bless us on that job. But if we're being slack about it, and we show up whenever we want to, and we don't do half the things that we're supposed to be doing, then how can we ask God to bless us on the job? You see the differences there that we need to have the same type of relationship with the Lord. Number three was seeking God's will in prayer. Seeking his will. 1 John 5:14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything, don't forget about this little statement, according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. How many times do we think about as we pray, saying, Lord, if it's your will that I do this, I go in this direction, I get involved in this, is that your will for my life? And sometimes, as Christians, we already know what God's will is. We've been living as a Christian long enough. And we know that we're walking in his will and doing what he wants us to do. But we also know when we're out of his will, and we know that we're doing things that God isn't pleased with. So, as we go to the Lord in prayer, we want to realize, hey, I want God's will in what I'm asking here. You know, I could ask him for some strange, crazy things that I know is not going to help me really in the long run. It's not going to glorify the name of Christ. It's not going to build the kingdom up. It's not going to do any of those things. Am I going to ask God, continue to ask God to bless me in those areas and do that, this thing that I want him to do? If I step back and say, well, you know what, that couldn't be God's will. That's not going to help things at all spiritually. So I know that's not his will. But, you know, there are things that come in our life, like, you know, when to buy this house, when to get this car, when to change this job. Those type of things, we can also seek God's will in that and say, hey, I want your will. I mean, we can either say, well, now, Lord, I want this vehicle, and I'm going to get this vehicle. I was just letting you know. I want you to bless me in that. You know, or are we going to seek His will and get the right thing that He wants us to get? So that's very important that we pray that. So let's pick up with number four here this morning. And this is a very important one. As we go to the Lord in prayer, have an attitude, a forgiving attitude towards others. A forgiving attitude. Mark 11, 24 and 25. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you shall receive them and you shall have them. But now verse 25. When you stand praying, comma, forgive. Just forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. Forgive. So if I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer and I have an unforgiving spirit about something and it's gnawing away at me and it's still there, how can I expect the Lord to answer my prayer until I get to that place till I say, you know what, this is going to hinder me. This is going to eat at me. This is going to bother me. I just need to put it under the blood. I need to ask forgiveness for this thing. I need to forgive whoever has done me wrong. Lord, I know you'll take care of it from here. So a forgiven spirit is like that of Christ. Christ had a forgiving heart. Some people do not see prayers answered because an unforgiving heart towards someone else, bitterness, is in their life about some situation. And I believe the Bible gives us clear instructions. Let's look at Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Look at this. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby may be defiled. You know what it reminds me of when I read that? It reminds me of gardening. We got some guys here that like to garden a lot. And I wonder, did you ever go when you thought about planting your garden, you thought, well, man, I want to get a good crop of weeds growing in my garden. Now, if you go to the store and ask for some weed seeds, they may give you something that not the weed that I'm talking about now, but I'm talking about these things that grow up that try to choke out your other things that you've planted. But you know what? When you plant that garden, and the rain comes, guess what? It's going to rain on those weeds just like it does everything else. When the sun shines, it's going to shine on those weeds just like everything else. And those are going to grow up in the garden and they will choke it out after a while. You don't get in there and pull those weeds out, till those weeds, or whatever you need to do to kind of try to keep it under control, it's going to have an effect on that garden. And I thought about that. Those weeds of bitterness will take root in our life. And if we say, well, that's been a long time ago, but you hadn't forgot about it. And every once in a while, it comes up, boy, I wish I would have dealt with that differently. I wish I'd have took care of things right when that happened. I'm still mad about that. Well, yeah, it's still going to affect you. Nothing would tear at the heart of a father, a mother, a family member, or a friend than someone who will not forgive. You know, over the years, there have been people who have left the church, people who have gave up on their calling that God has put on their life. They failed to pray anymore, all because there's bitterness that's taken rooted in their life. You know, Christ forgave and prayed for those who crucified Him, didn't He? Luke 23:34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted His raiment. And cast lots. Now, you say, well, that was because He was Jesus. He was able to do that. But first of all, we'll never know the burden that was on Him. I was thinking about that this week. It wasn't just being crucified. That was bad enough. But it's the weight of the sins of the world that was on Him.
that he had to take on and yet be able to say that. So, okay, he was the Son of God. But what about a human? Could he do that? Stephen prayed for those who stoned him in Acts 7:60. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Being stoned to death. Can you imagine the last words of a man being able to say that? He's actually saying, don't even lay this sin to their charge. Forgive them of what they're doing. So it is definitely something that is we have to work on. We have to ask God, forgive us and help us forgive others. Now, number 5, praying for wisdom. And this is also very important because I don't always think about this, praying for wisdom in a situation. James 1:5-7, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive, look at this, anything from the Lord. So man, that tells me that wisdom, praying for wisdom is very important. Because we face so many different situations. I began to think about this. I believe this is a prayer that our pastor prays a lot. I believe he prays for wisdom. I can tell that he does. I've been around him enough to hear his wisdom in so many situations that he faces. We have no idea how many he has to deal with. But think of the wisdom that he needs to deal with every situation in the church. All kind of crazy things come up. And he has to direct those things in the best way possible, and he's going to get that direction from God. And as he prays for that wisdom, God says what? He's not going to hold it back. He's going to give it to him. I have learned many things from the pastor through my years with him. I have gained much wisdom through the things that he, and sometimes I just marvel at what he has come up with. And I'm thinking, thank you, God, for giving him wisdom in that situation. But you know what? He can give us all wisdom. And we need that. Instead of just rushing into a situation, say, well, now, let me see how I need to handle this. Let me go ahead and do this. Have we stopped and said, Lord, give me wisdom on how to handle this. Give me the wisdom that I need when talking to this person, going into this circumstance, dealing with this situation. I need to know, Lord, how I should handle this. I believe he'll give you the wisdom that you need. You know, when James was writing to these people here, they had problems with their praying. You can tell it in his writings. Look at James 4, and they'll get verses 1 through 3 up there. It says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? They not hence even of your lust that war in your members. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and ye desire to have. You cannot obtain. You fight and war. You have not because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. What were they doing? They were fighting with each other. They were having terrible things going on. And yes, some of them were praying by what it says here. They were asking God for things, but nothing was happening. Why? Because they didn't ask for wisdom in the situation. They were just going at it saying, Lord, do this, do that, do this. And they were asking amiss. That means it was no count on what they were saying. It wasn't going to help anything. They were trying to consume it upon themselves. You know, how many times do we go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I need, give me, open these doors for me, do this for me. And it's all about us. And we can tell when we get the prayer list here, there's a lot of other people who have needs. So why not pray for others You say, but I got a lot of needs too. The Lord knows that. But if we'll ask prayer for others, I believe the Lord will meet our needs as well. So don't ask amiss. James went on to say in James 5:13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. I'm glad we do that here. But look at this. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he committed any sins, we get an extra bonus there. They shall be forgiven him. The prayer of faith, that's another thing. As we pray, believe what we're praying about. Believe God could do it. Sometimes we just say words. But did we really think, yes, I believe God's going to do that? Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for a space of 3 years and 6 months. Pastor was just bringing that out Wednesday night. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that prayer? Asking it not to rain? That's a pretty big prayer. And it did not. And we're not talking about a day, a week. I mean, it rained out on the earth for 3.5 years. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I'm telling you, prayers that get down to business with God in the right way, with the right heart, things can happen. And they certainly happen here. If anyone lacks wisdom, what we should be doing? Just keep on asking. Keep on praying. It may be a thing through your whole lifetime, because things change all the time around us. I mean, what worked yesterday might not work today. What happening in the world last year is totally different this year. So as things change, then we need wisdom with that change. We need to move with that. We need to know what God wants to do today that was different than He did last week. God doesn't change, but circumstances around us and people change, and all this stuff is going on. So we need wisdom on how to handle that. And God, nothing takes Him by surprise. He knows all the changes that are happening. He knows what's going on. So the wisdom enables a Christian to mature, become more complete in Him. God simply gives wisdom to anyone that will ask. And I believe it's asking time after time. You know, when a Christian asks God for wisdom, there are some things we can remember. And those verses brought some of those things out. It said God will give it to us freely. He'll give it freely. Without finding fault. And I believe we must ask without any doubt. So when it comes to wisdom, we've got to realize He will give you wisdom about a situation. And we can't doubt God when He gives us the wisdom. God says this is how you should do it. He leads you in that way. You feel that peace about it. You know that this is the right direction. Then don't say, well, now, Lord, wait a minute. That's going to be hard for me to do. I can't do that. I've never done that. See, those are things that bring out doubt in picture there. We can't do it, but with God, what? All things are possible. And if He gives us the wisdom and the way to do it and the open door to go through it, then let's accept that. And it will help us as we continue to grow in Him. Praying for God's wisdom will ensure you not to waste any situation, any circumstance. Have you ever thought about how many times we've wasted a circumstance, a situation? I often go back and think about, oh man, I missed that opportunity right there. Man, I could have said this instead of doing what I did. I could have gone there instead of going over here.
And I think about, you know, I knew that I wasn't doing what God wanted me to do, but I just wanted to go that way. I wanted to say that, those words. And so those are things that happen in our life. But pray for God's wisdom. And now the last one here is praying in Jesus' name. Praying in Jesus' name. John 14 and verse 13, whatsoever you ask, look, in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, when we talk about this in his name, it goes deeper, and I had to learn this lesson. It goes deeper than I was praying all these things along, and then when I got ready to finish my prayer, I said, in Jesus' name, amen. And that, there's nothing wrong with that. That is good. That's what we should do. But it's more to it than just ending the prayer with those words in Jesus' name. Because when we think about with that kind of promise of Jesus and his name, appropriate praying, asking here, it must follow the model that Jesus exemplified. It's really when you're saying in Jesus' name, you're praying everything that goes along with the name of Jesus. I mean, that means whatever is pleasing God, whatever's going to glorify God, and it's being Spirit-led. So when we pray in Jesus' name, we pray in the authority of the name of Jesus. And folks, there's nothing greater than the authority of Jesus' name. I mean, devils were cast out in Jesus' name. Demons have to flee in Jesus' name. Jesus is that name that we use as we pray, and it means that we're praying in the authority, not my authority, but his authority. I heard a story that illustrates it good. A pastor took his young son and his son's friends to a carnival for a birthday party, and he bought a great big roll of tickets. And he stood in front of every ride as the kids came up, and he would hand them a ticket. It was his son and 14 of his friends. He'd give every one of them a ticket as they came to each ride. Well, he came up to one ride and he stood there getting ready to hand out tickets again, and he was handing them out, and all of a sudden he looked and he realized there's a little boy with his hand stuck out asking for a ticket he had never seen before. And he stopped him and said, son, are you part of my son's party, birthday party here? And he said, no. He said, well, then why should I give you a ticket? And the young boy turned around to him and pointed to the man's son and said, because your son said for you to give me one. He was going in the authority of the man's son. So the man had no choice. He gave him one. You think about that. When I go to God in prayer, and I'm saying in Jesus' name, the authority of Jesus, can you imagine the stamp of approval and the power that comes with that? Then certainly there will be some answers to some prayers when we're praying that way. George Mueller was a man who applied these techniques in his prayer life. He said, I spent hours in prayer every day. I live in the spirit of prayer. He said, I pray when I walk. I make it a point to pray when I lie down. I pray when I wake up. And he said, I've seen thousands of answers to my prayers. I've often said, I pray going down the road, but I don't close my eyes while I'm praying. That's not a good idea probably to do. But as you go anywhere, you can pray. Anytime you can pray. I have found that there are times that pray that it didn't seem like a convenient place. It seemed like a strange circumstance. It seemed like something that people would think prayer will be the last thing on their mind. And yet, when I prayed at those times, I felt God's presence there
and I felt that He was hearing me, and I've seen some answers to prayer. I've prayed when people looked at me strangely and thought, why are you praying now? Do you really want to pray? There have been times I ask people, is it all right if I pray? And I try to be proper about that. But yet, there are times I could see people's face, they thought, I didn't think about you praying here. I didn't think about really having prayer. I've been in a room full of people I didn't know, and I said, we're going to pray. And boy, I get some strange looks sometimes. But I also had some people come up and say, thank you for praying. We really appreciate you praying. That meant a lot to us. And it was the last opportunity I had to pray with a group of people, or those people. And it made an effect on them. And who knows, maybe they got into their prayer life because of that. Maybe something else changed in their life because of that. So it is very important that we realize there's always a time. That's why that little verse in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Be in the attitude of prayer. Have your heart always in that prayerful time where you can go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm persuaded that it's the right thing to do to pray. You know, you think about how many times we depend on prayer as a church. I mean, we start the service with prayer. There's a prayer list going on that now we've got a prayer meeting that takes place every Sunday morning. I mean, we have an altar still open for folks that will come and pray. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. A lot of churches done away with that. You won't hear no altar call in some churches today. They won't have no opportunity for folks to come and pray. I've been in church service, the pastor didn't even close the service out with, have a great day, God bless you. There was no prayer. There was no going in the authority of Jesus' name for things. Thank God we can still pray. Folks, there may become a time, and there are people across this world who live in places where they're forbidden to pray. Thank God we're able to do that. And we ought to take advantage of it all the time. Never give up. You know, I mentioned right at the beginning of the lesson, there's times when I believe we all have where we don't feel like praying. And we're thinking, that's all right, I won't pray today. But folks, when you think about how serious it is to have God's direction, protection, as we go through the day, I want Him to know that I'm talking to Him and I'm listening to Him on a daily basis. When we grasp some of these things biblically, it's not ideas that some man's come up with. These, and I gave you scriptures for each one, they let us know what happens when we pray. They teach us in the Word how to pray, what to ask for when we pray. And so when we grasp that biblical vision, then something or someone's going to be changed when we pray. And we probably don't even know. I don't know what the statistic would be. We hear answers to prayer. We hear testimonies. We see people's lives changed because prayer went up for them. But I guarantee you, we won't know half what happened when we prayed till we get to heaven, maybe. But we did what we needed to do. We did what God wanted us to do. And people's lives were changed and touched and made anew because we were obedient to go to the Lord in prayer.
You listened to Pastor David Kogel. For more information, visit our website at BufordRoadBaptistChurch.com.